You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Thrilled to bring in our next guest, one of my very good friends, and any time we have the opportunity to slide him into the show, I always love it. It's Steve Bordstein, who joins us to talk about a variety of topics, and today we're going to talk Major League Baseball. We're also going to talk NCAA, because there's a lot going down as far as payment to players, and I know we will dive a little bit deeper into this conversation later this week, but the preliminary, I guess we could call it an outcome, has been delivered, so we'll dive into that as well. Steve Bordstein right now joining us over the phone, and Steve, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it.
No, always love getting you on, that's for sure. Let's start by talking Major League Baseball. We always save Wednesday for some baseball talk, and right now we have the Dodgers and the Padres in Game 3 of their series, and I had this thought last night in watching this game. In fact, I had this thought over the last two nights. The Padres may not have accomplished a lot in terms of wins. And I mean that, not wins in the regular season, but I'm talking a World Series championship or a division championship. They haven't been able to get over that hump against this behemoth, which is the Los Angeles Dodgers. However, there's enough talent and there is enough spunk on that team that makes them very lovable by their home fan base and very hateable by opposing fan bases. I think you look at the Los Angeles Dodgers, this is a team that's the defending World Series champs. They've won, what, 12 out of the last 13 or something like that, division titles. They have a different makeup of roster, but they're easy to hate if you're not a Dodger fan based off of the fact of winning fatigue. This is a great rivalry right now in Major League Baseball, and I think it's exactly what the sport needs. Some would call this sacrilegious, but even though the Padres may not be the Dodgers' elite rivalry, I mean, the classic rivalry is the San Francisco Giants, and then, of course, you have the Yankees and Red Sox, I am of the belief right now this is the top rivalry in Major League Baseball.
It's the top rivalry in Major League Baseball because people like you and I, who are in the business of promoting sports, we and so when we talk to the masses, when we talk to our respective audiences, they know the names Machado. They know the names Judge, right? They know Aaron Judge. But they know Machado. They know Tatis. They know San Diego is literally 90 minutes away from Los Angeles. So I think in the sense of it being a name rivalry, yes. Obviously, you look at the Dodgers-Yankees. They played in the World Series last year. It's a historic rivalry that goes back to the early 1900s. But let's face it, you and I and most baseball fans these days, they don't know the 1900s, so they don't care. The Giants have been largely irrelevant, and I would challenge most of your listeners right now to name me three players on the current Giants starting lineup. So as far as the rivalry aspect is concerned, it is the biggest rivalry in the West Coast of baseball. Yankees, Red Sox, no question, East Coast of baseball. I would argue that it is similar to Auburn, Alabama in college football. It is similar to, even though neither team is never relatively successful, it's Cleveland, Cincinnati in pick your sport, whatever sport that might be. But that's the rivalry it is. It's USC, UCLA in whatever sport you want it to be. It just so happens that on top of the regional aspect of it and the name aspect of it, they happen to be two of the top teams in all of the sport in the last 5 years, which makes the rivalry even more intense and even greater to talk about.
Yeah, and I was trying to think of a fair comp, right, in regards to the NBA, because tonight we have Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Maybe it's been a little bit lackluster. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we've had the last 2 days off. But last night I was sitting on my couch trying to scratch my head thinking, okay, what's a fair comp to compare the current Dodger-Padres rivalry? And the best I could come up with was going all the way back to the early 2000s Lakers-Kings. And the reason and this is how I came to that conclusion. First off, both teams are in California, right? I mean, it has different sides of the state, obviously, when we're talking about the Lakers and Kings, but you had a team in LA that you either loved or you hated. And a lot of that had to do with the fact of the fatigue of winning. And you had this new and upcoming team in the Sacramento Kings. They had exciting players. They had Mike Bibby. They had Chris Webber. And they just never got over the hump. That was the best comp I could come up with in the NBA, fair or not.
And I'll go back just a little bit further. As fair as that one is, because it's in-state, I'll give you one that's a little, not in-state, but regional, and that would be Bulls Pistons in the 90s.
Okay, I can buy that.
Bulls Pistons, it's Dumars, it's Lane Beer, it's Isaiah Thomas, it's Michael frigging Jordan. So, I mean, and you throw in the other elements on that team. That rivalry, I would argue, was the height and still remains, I think, to this day, the height of popularity in the NBA. As great as Lakers-Celtics was, but it wasn't a regional rivalry. It was just a once-a-year rivalry for the most part. Pistons, Bulls, your mention of Kings, Lakers, those were intense. Those were battle-tested. You can't use the Clippers and Lakers because the Clippers were irrelevant for the most part. You can't use Knicks and Brooklyn or New Jersey at that time because, again, Knicks were kind of irrelevant most of the time. So, but you look at when the Bulls and Pistons met up, or you look at when the Pistons and the Pacers played, when it was Reggie Miller, and when those rivalries there. And ironically, those are both Midwest rivalries, right? So I think there's also an element of there's a sportsman's element of where certain fanatical fan bases live. I'm thinking of one in the NFL that's comparable. I'm struggling to think of the first one that would come to mind other than maybe, Giants-Patriots?
Maybe. I don't feel like in the NFL, and you only play twice a year, maybe three times a year. And I think that I'm not saying that there are hardcore rivalries in the NFL because there is, right? Raider fans, Bronco fans, they don't like one another. The teams don't like one another. There is a little bit of animosity when we're talking about the rivalry. But what makes the NBA and Major League Baseball so different than the NFL is what you alluded to. When it's a regional rivalry, you get it at least four times a year, right? If we're looking at the NBA, you get it at least four times a year. And if you go toe-to-toe in the playoffs, you're getting it possibly seven more times. It's just different in baseball and basketball than it is in football.
Oh, absolutely. No, there's no question about it. And I know that, the NBA is popular, and I get all that. It's why when you get that matchup in the Stanley Cup playoffs of Boston and Pittsburgh, it's why when you get that matchup of the Rangers and Islanders going at it, right? People just absolutely drop everything to watch those things. You and I don't probably care that much about hockey. I don't care that much about hockey. But that matchup, I'm going to raise an eyebrow if I know that those two teams are playing in a Game 7 in an Eastern Conference playoff matchup, because there's probably going to be a few fists getting thrown, and we don't know, not that we condone that by any sense of the imagination, but it's a reality. So I think for the regional aspect, there's no question Dodgers Padres is the greatest baseball rivalry in the west part of the United States. There is no Giants, because again, the Giants are largely irrelevant. They're having a good year this year. That's great. Enjoy it while it lasts. It's the history of the Dodgers combined with that, we were so close to being history Padres. You and I have talked about it. The winner of that Dodgers Padres first round divisional playoff series, the winner of that was going to win the World Series.
Yep.
It just so happened to be the Dodgers.
Well, and I think, for the old school baseball mind, you say, no, it's Yankees, Red Sox. I'm not saying historically the Dodgers and Padres match up with Yankees, Red Sox. I'm just saying right now, because you know what else helps this rivalry? And I think sometimes this gets overlooked. What helps the rivalry is that someone as polarizing as Manny Machado jumped from L.A. to San Diego. Right, that is another aspect of this rivalry. It just adds on another layer to it.
Sure. It's the same thing that happened when Johnny Damon. Remember the fuss that was created when Johnny Damon, what, did he leave the Red Sox to go to the Yankees, or was it the other way around?
He left Oakland to go to Boston, and then left Boston to go to the Yankees.
Right. Who does that?
Right.
So again, it's that element of it. That made it even greater. Was the and Roger Clemens did it.
Yeah.
Clemens did it, for crying of all the people to have done it. Roger Clemens did it, for crying out loud. So that's what adds even a greater layer to it. When you mention, Garvey. Garvey went from the Dodgers to the Padres.
Yep.
Machado went from the Dodgers to the Padres. You know, so that's what makes that, that's what makes the rivalry even greater, is that that element of, oh, but Machado's going to stick it to his former teammate someday. You know, and last night he kind of did. So, yeah, good for him.
Steve Portstein again joining us right now as we talk some Major League Baseball. Steve, one more topic on baseball is we got less than 100 games to go right in the regular season. I know that seems like a lot, but not really. We're already past the first 65 games of the season. When you look at the way things have shaped out, biggest surprise for you, Steve Portstein, what would it be?
Ooh, biggest surprise.
I got a number of them, and for me, the
number of them, that's the thing. I mean, I guess my first one would be, I knew it was going to be tough for the Orioles to come up with a season like they had last year, but I didn't expect this. I did not expect them to be 14 games out of first place with a minus 91 run differential and in last place in the American League East. I did not see that. That stunned me. The other one would be, and I know they're going to make, I'm assuming they're going to make a run at some point, but I know that Atlanta came into the regular season a little beat up, but they're done. I mean, I don't know if you've watched any of their games lately.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah.
Like they have basically coughed it in. They have put the white flag up. The Atlanta Braves are finished this season. They're 14 and a half games out of first place in the National League East. They're not going anywhere. I know they were beat up coming into the season. Strider was on the IL. You had Acuña on the IL. Everyone thought, okay, they'll make their run when they come back. They have done nothing of the sort. They're god awful on the road, and they're not going anywhere. So those would be my two biggest surprises.
And I would agree with you full-heartedly. I had a lot of expectations for Atlanta. I thought once Acuña come back, we would see it. He came back with a lot of pizzazz, a lot of excitement early on. They get back to the 500 mark, and then they lose 8 out of 10. So, yeah, I agree with you on both the Orioles and the Braves front. Again, Steve Portstein joining us right now talking Major League Baseball. Let's make a huge shift. Let's move from Major League Baseball, and let's go to the NCAA. I don't know if people are tired of the conversation, because it's getting to the point where I think the average sports fan, A, probably doesn't care if college athletes are paid anymore. We know they are. But B, doesn't want to know all the ins and outs about it, because the sport is just better when you think you're watching amateur athletes. I don't know where the average sports fan sits, but I think this has gone on for so long that even the recent news of payment to players and a supposed salary cap sitting at about $20.5 million per athletic department, I don't know if the average sports fan cares, Steve.
And that's a shame, because the average sports fan should care.
I agree.
The average sports fan cared enough about it when the story came up, and you and I, when I did my show, you and I talked about this story a lot. When it was the idea of paying players, when it was how did they do it, how would it be done, and no, you shouldn't do it because they're getting paid through their four-year scholarships in college. And then the argument was, well, they're not staying for all 4 years. Okay, so how do we fix that? Okay, well, we do the NIL thing. And all you did at that moment was open up the Pandora's box, because then you got all the lawyers involved, and then you got all the athletes' agents involved, and suddenly it became, well, only certain athletes are going to get paid because their sports are more visible. Well, then Libby Dunn happens, and how do you explain that the sport with one of the smallest national television audiences in gymnastics has the highest paid college athlete in the country? Well, because she's cute and she wears a jumpsuit really well. That's all it is. So then it becomes the argument of, well, what happens to the small sports once there's no one there to look after, or there's no one there to look up to, or there's no one there to look at from a visual perspective? Well, we're seeing what's happening with women's college basketball. Unless there's a Caitlin Clark involved, unless there's an Angel Reese involved, unless there's a name you can get behind, women's college basketball is going to go back to being largely irrelevant again, unless you have a big name there. And those big names only happen when you can create that big name. You have to create a talent. You have to create an image. You have to create a star out of someone who might not feel comfortable being that person. Okay, but then you have the next element of, it's only going to happen at a big school now. Doesn't matter what happens in the state of New Mexico. because UNM is going to be largely ignored because they're not in the Power Five conferences. They're in what's called the Group of Five. So they're going to be their ability to lure big name athletes is going to be restricted by the fact that the Arizonas, the Utahs, the Colorados, all the universities around the state of New Mexico are going to be able to pull from the state of New Mexico. And it's a shame because then it affects the non-revenue sports, okay? Yes, football and men's basketball, those athletes will benefit the most. But schools will now have to pay their top athletes considerable money on top of the NIL money just so they can make sure that they keep these athletes in these so-called minor sports. I would beg your audience, if you could do a live poll, how many people in your audience right now have watched a single out in the college baseball or college softball World Series?
Exactly. Well, you're exactly right. And I think that this is where it's going to get a little bit murky. Look, this is a landmark decision here, you know, talking about the House versus NCAA. And for me, Steve, the first thing I looked at, I love women's athletics. It was the first job I ever had in sports broadcasting. It was women's college basketball. It just so happens I'm a girl dad. I got two daughters that really love sports. So for me, Title IX is a landmark piece of legislation. And I also believe that it's a piece of legislation that, for lack of a better term, has been crapped on by individuals over the last 5 years, specifically during the litigation going on right now in the House versus the NCAA settlement. If you're allowing revenue sharing, which they are now, up to $20.5 million, and schools can allocate that $20.5 million however they would like, okay, if you want to use 80% of that for college football, you go right on ahead. That is your moneymaker. I think the bulk of that $20.5 million revenue share that schools are going to be able to allocate will go towards football. What does this do for Title IX? And that's what I have not been able to gauge just yet, but it's going to affect it, right? And that's why I think we're a long ways from done right now, because Title IX will play a factor.
Sure. Title IX is done. I mean, that's the long and short of it. Title IX is finished. Because where do you get the, if you're correct, and I believe you are, where do you get the money? I'm going to use your school. I'm going to use your favorite university. We're going to use Notre Dame as an example. Okay. Notre Dame is a pretty decent women's college basketball program. They've been in the Final Four, twice in the last 5-6 years?
Yeah.
They're a pretty decent women's college basketball program. But their moneymaker is football. Everyone knows that.
Right.
Why? Because they're on NBC television every single week. They play huge marquee matchups 7 times a season. They play on national television. So where's the majority of that money going to go to? It's going to go to them. And where's the majority of the money for Duke University? Where's that going to go to? It's going to go to men's college basketball. Same with North Carolina. It's going to go to those other programs, those women's programs that are on the cusp of being great, but not many people watch them, and so therefore there's not a lot of revenue. Well, suddenly they're an afterthought now. Because if you're not bringing in dollars, you're out. So it's the same thing with the smaller colleges. It's the same thing with any non-revenue sport. Think of it this way. In 2 years, the Olympics come to the United States. Okay? The Olympics are going to be held in Los Angeles in a couple of years. Try and see how difficult it is, and I'm saying that sarcastically, see how difficult it is to go to a college track and field meet sometime soon. You know why? Because you can walk right in.
Yep. Yeah.
Walk right in. And I can tell you right now, the television ratings for that college, for that collegiate track and field meet is going to be 0 point something. Why? Because nobody watches them. And so the college, so the universities are not incentivized, and they're not motivated to incentivize these programs. So think of the men's wrestling programs at such and such university. Again, Summer Olympics are coming. It's a huge thing for the Summer Olympics. No one. It's crickets as far as money is concerned. It's a huge thing in the Midwest. Huge. college wrestling is enormous in the Big Ten schools, but it doesn't pull in the kind of revenue that Ohio State football does. Doesn't pull in the same kind of revenue that Michigan football does. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see in the next 2 years what these universities are going to do, and in return, what these Olympic athletes are going to do. Because the Olympics, they need funding too. These Olympic athletes, they require some kind of money to get these athletes to training facilities to get them to the next level. Or guess what? We're gonna fall so far behind in international competition at the Olympics that when that gold medal count comes up and you see nations like China and Russia and Germany and all these Eastern European countries beating our ass, then everyone's gonna be like, well, why? Well, because no one's paying for them, that's why. And it shouldn't be a surprise when that happens.
He's Steve Bortstein taking out the time to join us again, a little mixture segment talking Major League Baseball and also the NCAA. We will continue this conversation a little bit later on in the week. We are going to have Mitt Winter on the show, but he's one of the nation's leading voices and attorneys in the NCAA. Curious to see what he has to say on this topic now that the House versus NCAA has a settlement. I think it's a long ways from being over, and it's essentially, Steve, the Wild Wild West. We can agree on that over the next 5 years, it may settle down and we may have some clarity, but right now, even with this settlement coming to an end, I don't believe we're any closer to getting some sort of clarity today than we were 3 years ago. I really don't.
No, and I'd be very curious when your guest comes on this week, the Title IX conversation. Yep. That is going to be such an enormous hurdle to overcome. And you're what's his name, Mitt Winter, you said?
Yep, yep.
Find out what he's charging these schools per hour.
I know that we're in the wrong industry. I know that.
Oh, my God, we are in the wrong business. Yeah, my mom told me at a very young age I should have been a lawyer. Days like this, I absolutely agree with her.
Well, I'm glad you take out the time to join us again, Steve Bortstein. Always a pleasure to get you on. Where can we find more of you?
Follow me on our website. The newspaper is Tri-City Record NM. That's Tri-City Record, New Mexico. TriCityRecordNM.com. Cover a variety of things, including baseball and local sports, college sports here in the Four Corners area. So check out my work there at TriCityRecordNM.com.
Hey, Steve Bortstein. Steve, always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you again.
Pleasure is mine, sir. Thank you.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. It'll be the same time, same place. Until then, be safe. I am out.